made the development to the war, and I think this is a really big mistake not to see what's happening with the Minsk agreement and why our Chancellor and Macron was lying about the Minsk agreement and don't want to make it. So I think it is really very much too easy to say that the whole responsibility lies by Russia.
Rhonda Brown, we're going to have to leave it there. We thank you so much, former Executive Director of the International Peace Bureau, and Auta Harjanne, a Green Member of Parliament in Finland. I'm Amy Goodman-Juan-Gonzalez.
And you're listening to radio station WUSB in Stony Brook. The time is just about 6 o'clock. Time, once again, for another exciting episode of Off the Wall. A very good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Wall. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this historic Tuesday evening, joined tonight by Kyle.
Over here.
Yeah. Okay, you know, I don't want to spend a lot of time talking about this because I really do think we've been overdosed on the whole Trump idiocy thing. I mean, for God's sake, do you remember when the Trump machine first came into these studios? Well, the initial studios. That was a long time ago. And we're still talking about this moron. He just doesn't go away. He's like a bad disease. He's like you know, the part of the lawn that you just can't get the weeds to stop growing. He's like that dog that won't stop barking. He's like well, you get the idea, right? I mean, you know, he's
fill in the blank.
Dare I say annoying? Mm-hmm. A bit much. And yeah, it was on every damn channel today. Every channel. I don't understand. And I'm going to get into this because it pissed me off yesterday. Royally, as you know. Because every moment of the entire day was based on where his fat ass was. You know, we had cameras outside Mar-a-Lago. Then we were, you know, watching him move OJ style through the streets. Okay, then, you know, waddling onto the airplane. Then the airplane trying to get off the ground. And yeah, I'm making fat jokes, I know, all right? That's all I got. And then the airplane landing in New York. And then the whole thing in reverse, where he gets in the car and then goes into Trump Tower and then up the elevator into the bathroom. And then again today, going down to court and then waiting outside the courtroom because we're not allowed to bring cameras inside the courtroom. We have to just wait outside and watch the cops standing in front of a door. I mean, that's what news channels are doing. And it's not like it's just one news channel doing it. They're all doing it. And the broadcast channels are joining in as well. Do you know Channel 55? That's the channel out in Riverhead. They never do anything news-wise. They don't. It's pathetic. They used to do things, but they don't do anything now. They're aligned with Channel 2, CBS in New York. They even broke into their coverage, into their programming today. You know, all the judges in the daytime and the people throwing chairs at each other and the DNA tests, whatever they do in the daytime on television on that channel, they interrupted that so that we could see what every other channel was showing. Yeah,
because it couldn't be better than some reveal in a Maury show or something.
No, and I feel sorry for the people that live for that kind of thing because it wasn't anywhere. The only channel
it kept being a non-story.
The only channel the only commercial channel that didn't have coverage was Channel 9, WWOR out of New Jersey. They have no news department. They're actually owned by Channel 5 as well, and Channel 13 PBS, because you know you got to keep the kids entertained somehow. But boy, I mean, okay, we get it, but is this guy really worth all this coverage? You know, I mean, cover the story. Absolutely, cover the story. You know, he has been indicted on 34 felony counts. It's not nothing. It's obviously shady as hell. And nobody is really surprised. No matter what they're saying, nobody is really surprised by this. And there you go. Move on to other things. There are so many other stories going on that we're not talking about. And why are we talking about this? Because we're going to give our unique perspective, hopefully unique perspective, and then we're going to move on to other things because there are other things.
Yeah, therein is the problem. This is not occurring in a vacuum or on a telenovela or some kind of soap in the daytime.
Even the Spanish stations broke in. I don't know why I say even the Spanish. Well, usually they don't cover these kinds of stories.
Sure.
They have better taste. But no, they broke in as well.
Indeed. And to that end, this is a world that is chaotic and a lot of news worthy of much more airtime is out there. There are students doing amazing things. There's whole nations charting new paths for themselves, and conflict, of course, abound, and yeah. need all over the world.
Not just the bad things. There are good things as well. There are all kinds. And, you know, there are alternatives. You can watch Euronews. If you have Optimum, you can actually see that on Channel 103, which is great. European perspective, very, very few commercials. There's BBC World News, channel next to it, Channel 104, but also on satellite. There's Al Jazeera English. If you're lucky enough to be able to get that, you can find that on YouTube. There are alternatives. And there are other ways of seeing what's happening in the world. I just wish we took more of an interest in that. Maybe we wouldn't have so much of this if we took more of an interest in that. Anyway, so, so Trump was accused of covering up a potential sex scandal during the 2016 presidential campaign. He was indicted last week, as we all know. We didn't know on this show because it happened on Thursday of last week. We were expecting it to happen. But the funny thing was, everybody had concluded it wasn't going to happen until late April. And then all of a sudden, Thursday evening, bam, there it was. It caught him by surprise. So I guess that was worth it. He surrendered to the Manhattan District Attorney's Office earlier this afternoon and later appeared before a judge for his arraignment, where he entered a not guilty plea. That's at 100 Center Street, building I'm quite familiar with. It's where the tombs are. And in my little adventure at the RNC in 2004, that's where we eventually wound up. Except we didn't have it nearly as easy as this guy. We got shuffled around to more than a dozen cells throughout the building, the fingerprint machine did not work well. And I don't think they even offered him the moldy apple and disgusting peanut butter sandwich that they kept offering us. So I guess we're ahead on that. Anyway, this is how it's described this is New York Times looking at right now. A remarkable spectacle playing out before a divided nation. Mr. Trump's 11-vehicle motorcade arrived just before 1:30 at the district attorney's office, part of the towering Manhattan Criminal Courts building. And it is scary. It's worth a trip just to look at that building. It's right by Chinatown. You can make a day of it. It's really something. Or just, you know, commit a crime and they'll take you there. Or don't commit a crime and they'll take you there sometimes. Anyway, while in custody, he was fingerprinted like any felony defendant, but special accommodations were made for the former president. He spent only a short time in custody, and he was not handcuffed, did not have his mugshot taken. I did hear, though, that he had DNA taken. That's kind of interesting. So how do you think they took the DNA?
Maybe a cheek swab. I was wondering about that myself, but that is modern, uh-huh. Right? That's a novel thing, but it is done quite often when people are booked into jails and prisons now, and I don't think people really realize how much of an advance that is. And the real question is, what for?
Who do you think drew the short straw as the poor sucker had to stick a swab into Trump's cheek? You know, I mean, that's something you just don't erase from your life. It's something that follows you to the grave. I'm sorry, whoever that had to do that. Trump, for those who care, he was visibly angry as he walked down the hallway toward the courtroom. He was accompanied by his legal advisor, Boris, really? You got to have a lawyer named Boris? I mean, you know, you're trying to distance yourself from the whole Russian collusion thing, and you have a guy named, I mean, you know, if he's a good lawyer, I guess, doesn't matter what his name is, but still. Igor? Really? Oh, my gosh. I won't mention that. Boris Epstein. It's like Epstein, but spelled weird. Epstein. Epstein. Okay. Respect.
Totally not made up.
Also, lawyers handling this case, Todd Blanche, Susan Nichols, and Joseph Takapina. Interesting names. I got to give you that. I like interesting names. It's like Thailand. Everybody has a different last name. And everybody wants to say Joseph Tapioca, but I'm not going to say that. Trump declined to speak before or after the hearing and immediately left to fly back to his home in Florida and throw a big tantrum. But he is going to also throw a big tantrum in front of a crowd at Mar-a-Lago. And who knows what he's going to say tonight? Who cares? Yeah, I don't care, but let's see what kind of insurrection he whips up. There was fear that there was going to be trouble in Manhattan today. I never really expected there to be trouble in Manhattan because it's Manhattan. We don't let those things take place usually. And he's not very popular there. So getting a good crowd, it was a very sparse group of people. I mean, about the worst thing that happened was Marjorie Taylor Greene showed up for a few minutes, but she got shouted down so quickly. I think she was only there for 10 minutes and then she was gone. She came all the way up just for that. I guess a photo opportunity. So if you look on her Facebook page, I'm sure you'll see her on scene, even though she really wasn't.
Yeah, there's like political cachet or something. She feels she can can't run on that kind of presence and so forth. So I don't know. I view that whole speech later. That's an interesting thing. Someone who's entangled in something like this, and then they're going to make some sort of big public announcement. What I read that personally, I just feel like that's a pity party. Like, it's mostly for his morale.
Yeah, if Marjorie Taylor Greene shows up to support you, I mean, that's it. You're done. I don't see that as a positive in any way. I see that as the end of the road. And
you gotta ask yourself, is that really support?
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, all these people saying, all these people on the right saying, this is politically motivated. And then saying it's a weak case. Well, if it's a weak case and it's politically motivated, then it's politically stupid, isn't it? You know? And also...
Well, I think just people get it a little... They're just moving a little too quickly there.
Well, no, I mean, you know, people are saying that. Some people...
It is a political case.
The same people are saying... Well, it has to do with politics. But it wasn't brought because he is of this particular political position. I mean, what exactly are we doing here? We're getting revenge for Trump taking away the right to abortion and making the country more right-wing and divide.
No, I mean, that election already happened.
Yeah, that's the past. That happened already. He is not going to win again. The only way he's going to win again is if the American people go completely insane. So I guess it's possible. But this is history we're talking about. So it doesn't make sense politically to do this. And the other thing, I saw Barney Frank saying this last night, saying it's a weak case, it's a bad idea. Yeah, it's a bad idea if you are strategizing politically, you know? Then you have to coordinate all the cases, and there are multiple cases down the road, I think at least four. And that's only the criminal cases. So if you're coordinating with all the district attorneys, all the prosecutors, then okay, yeah, I guess I guess strategically it's not the best move. But that proves they're not doing that. That proves they're not coordinating. That proves it's not a political persecution. It proves it's simply a criminal prosecution like any other.
Well, I think that's an unimaginative way to look at it. I mean, yeah, it's a different case.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's the most personal. I'm putting that in quotation.
It just happened to be first. It just happened to be. But look, let me tell you, if it's not political, what are these people doing raising money? Raising money based on the case for a campaign. That seems pretty political. The response to this is political. Absolutely. The case itself seems like a criminal case. And if there is no crime, then that will be proven in court, right? Isn't that how the system works? Isn't that how the system is supposed to work? You know?
And that's why I had the obligation to show up state his claim of guilt, or in this case, he claimed to not be guilty of these 34 counts.
Yeah, and if only that was all he claimed, but he's been going crazy over the past week with all sorts of threats of violence, literally saying people are going to die, threatening us, saying that the country is going to be torn apart. Today, his son, both of his stupid-ass sons, posted pictures of the judge's daughter online. I mean, these are mobsters, you know? They are not very well organized, but they are organized criminals, you know? And this kind of thing should not be tolerated. They should have imposed a gag order on his ass. They really should have. Because I don't know what he's going to say tonight in Florida, but it's not going to help, whatever it is. You know, he's riling up his base. And yeah, it's helping his numbers, but that's not why you file a case or don't file a case, you know, based on what it's going to do to the person's popularity. You go against somebody if you have a case, you know, and you may not agree it's a good case, but it's not nothing. It definitely is something. And the fact that so few of us are surprised that this is happening. This has been predicted from before he even started running that this guy was a criminal. So, and you know, we're talking about things that have happened fairly recently, not way in the past. You know, if you charged him with all the things he was guilty of, you know, that would be, you'd need a courtroom. you know, for a long, long time.
Yeah, and only this is like the crime itself prior to an election, a presidential election, where the public was inquiring and asking all the questions that you would normally ask about whether you would like someone to lead your country or not. Those questions were not being answered in earnest, you know, with you know, truthfulness in it. And it is, you know, that behavior that only, you know, paying money to keep quiet, something like that, is only a pattern of this person and comes from a lifetime of solving your problems with lawyers and thinking you'll just have the lawyers handle it afterwards.
Did you see his lawyers at the press conference afterwards? I mean, these guys, you know, it almost sounded like they might have had a few good points. But then they got all belligerent and defensive and started resenting being asked questions. It's a press conference. People are going to ask you questions at a press conference. It's not hard to figure out, but just listening to these clowns, I mean, you couldn't make this up. You really couldn't. It sounded like a 1950s, you know, crime drama film.
Yeah, really the best part was, I don't know what they were doing. If someone was emptying a truck full of scrap metal or sheet metal or something, it was great. Excellent natural sound.
Well, you're talking about the sound. That they're not responsible for.
Fantastic.
That. But what they were saying above the sound, that's what was really ridiculous and silly. Speaking of ridiculous and silly, or actually a whole lot worse than that, Ron DeSantis. Yeah, this insane. He is out of his damn mind, but then again, so is half the state of Florida. Now, his reaction to all this, you know, part of the Law and Order Party, saying that they, Florida, the state of Florida, would not assist in an extradition request. They would not cooperate. So this is how they view law and order. When charges are filed against somebody that is in their political camp, they will stand in the way of prosecution, regardless of the rules, regardless of the evidence. They're just not going to play along. That's not how the system works. You know, I think everybody knows that. But DeSantis seems to think that he can just do whatever he wants. You know, he can try and bully Disney around. How's that going? I love how Disney managed to outsmart him and somehow give their board power to do things even after DeSantis thought he had taken over with his own board. And this is all because Disney dared to oppose his Don't Say Gay bill and his anti-trans policies, because they dared to speak out against that in the mildest terms, too. He decided he was going to go to war with Disney. Now, I'm no fan of Disney, but, you know, I don't care how big a mega corporation is. If you're going against DeSantis, you're on the right side. And they did, and they outsmarted him. There's a clause in there that says the Disney board will continue to have power until, around 20 years after the last descendant of King Charles III. I don't know where they came up with this. But what that means is the monarchy of England has to cease existing. And then another 20 years have to pass before they will lose power. You know, it's creative. I admire creativity like that. And it pissed DeSantis off, so that makes it even better. DeSantis basically saying, yeah, we're not going to cooperate with that because we don't like you going after Trump. Even though this guy is going to be supposedly running against Trump, they all stick together like this. And the rules don't apply to them. They really do not want the rules to apply to them. We see this constantly over and over again. And this is an egregious example of it.
Just that clause alone, I think, is interesting. It's a different cultural race or distinction, kind of a challenge between cultures, where the monarchy itself was existing at a time when America, being a young country that did not work under those systems, created this magic kingdom and sort of a parody itself of monarchy and princes and princesses and story and fairy tales. And I think that that itself is fascinating, that it was baked in as its own self-importance in contrast to real royalty and monarchies and institutions around the world that young people in this country have to grow up and realize and have some sort of underpinning. And from our perspective, it is not really real life, and not necessarily in our country. We work with different systems. Mm-hmm. So that's fascinating that there is self-importance there, and it is a priority for their existence and initiative overall. And that includes, you know, not yielding to someone, you know, some King DeSantis who thinks he can, in you know, have his way regardless, and maybe that with was
a
impunity.
Yeah, maybe that was a statement that we're going to use this monarchy against your right. fantasy of a monarchy that you're creating for yourself.
Right? Like, they can play in fantasy too. I just, mm-hmm. there's some real artfulness to that.
Yeah, Disney has it on fantasy. I think they've got that down, so he's not going to win. Okay, but staying in Florida for a while, I really don't want to, but kind of have to. Because yesterday, was it yesterday? There was basically a new law passed banning abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. 6 weeks. People don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. Actually, I'm sorry. The Senate passed this. The 6 week abortion ban. The vote is 26 to 13.
That's the state Senate.
26 to 13, the state Senate. I mean, and of course, DeSantis is going to sign this. Democrats aren't going to beat this. 26 to 13, that's literally 2-1. I'm tired of people saying, hey, we're winning. We're not winning. We're losing. You know, we have the numbers. Yeah, we have more people, but we keep losing because they keep stacking the system in various ways, whether it's putting justices on Supreme Courts in just the right places, or gerrymandering, or just figuring out ways where, even though you have the numbers, doesn't count. You know, and if you win, they'll appeal, then they'll win, and it just gets dragged on forever.
It's like asymmetric political sabotage.
It's something that is really beginning to frustrate people, and I think that is our hope, when people finally get frustrated enough to act. We're starting to see that. We're starting to see this. Two top Florida Democratic Party leaders were arrested last night during a protest of that very bill. Nikki Fried, the chair of the state Democratic Party, and State Senator Lauren Book were taken into custody by Tallahassee police. They were charged with misdemeanor trespassing after a warning. They were part of a group of protesters who set up a park in front of Tallahassee City Hall, which is across the street from the state capitol. They were sitting in a circle singing songs when police made them leave. Tallahassee police say the protesters had been told they could not be in the park all night, and that anyone there after sundown would be subject to arrest. Authorities say most people did leave at nightfall, but 11 refused. So this is all about 11 people sitting in a park. The city, actually on Thursday, put the space in front of City Hall as a park designation, and which is clearly not a park. It's an open space, said Fried. They put signs out Thursday or Friday last week saying that the park was open from sunup until sundown. So it sounds like a bit of shenanigans there. Police said due to the size of the crowd they were expecting and their desire for overnight camping, they were informed last Friday of the city's inability to accommodate them. 11 people? You couldn't accommodate 11 people in a park? I mean, I think maybe the crowd was less than what you were thinking it would be. The number of protesters that had come into town was roughly 30 or 40 people, said Fried. We're not talking about hundreds and thousands of people that the city of Tallahassee could not accommodate. This is kind of a back and forth here. Police also said after multiple warnings throughout the day, protesters acknowledged they understood that anyone refusing to leave the premises at sundown would be subject to arrest. After sunset, the majority of the crowd left the property, while 11 people refused to leave despite numerous requests. They were subsequently arrested for trespass after warning. This is just nonsense. People protesting against a crazy law that makes abortion in Florida completely illegal. That's the story. That's what we should be focusing on. You're arresting people for sitting in a park? That is how the government works. It's pathetic. It's disgusting.
It's un-American.
And the you remember the school shooting in Nashville? That was a while ago, right? How long ago was that? It was
a week.
No, it was like a year ago, wasn't it? Are we talking about the Christian school with the three kids killed and the three adults?
Less than a week.
Oh, it's a month then.
Wasn't it 2 weeks ago?
Two weeks.
It was like a week ago. It was like less than a
week. March 27th, right? Okay, that was last week. That was a week ago yesterday. It feels like so long ago. So much has happened.
A lot.
So much progress. DeSantis signed the Florida gun bill, which basically means anyone can carry a gun without a state permit, and they don't need any training. No background check, no training, no permit. And
I want to
read this headline to you from
from
Politico. DeSantis signs Florida gun bill as activists demand more. Now, I read this as, you know, activists are standing out, you know, in the street saying, "God damn it, DeSantis, what are you doing? We want gun safety." But no, these are pro-gun activists. They want more than this. He's signing a law that allows you to carry guns without a permit, with no training, with no background check, and that's not good enough for them. Falls short of what some gun rights activists are seeking. Can you even imagine? What could it be? Toddlers have guns? What is it that I'm looking through the story? I honestly don't know.
Is it any gun, and they're saying concealed, like they want open carry with no permit?
I mean, it sounds like that's what they have right now.
I don't know what else you could get in that. Maybe like rifles and assault rifles too, and just...
Here in the free state of Florida, government will not get in the way of law-abiding Americans who want to defend themselves and their families, said State Senator Jay Collins, who was a Tampa Republican sponsor of the legislation. Supporters of gun rights have repeatedly called on GOP legislators to go further by allowing people to carry guns openly. Oh, so they don't want it to be concealed. They want to be able to show off their guns as they walk down the street. You know, keep me the hell out of Florida. It's like going to Afghanistan and dealing with the Taliban right now. It really is. And unless people wake their asses up and start voting these people out, it's only going to get worse. I mean, how bad do you think it can possibly get? You're about to find out. You need to do something. You really need to do something. This is a crisis. Is this really what you want? I said yesterday, and I stand by this 100%, I really hope somebody with a gun, no permit, and no training finds his way or her way into DeSantis' office. I really hope that happens. Now, I'm not wishing for any violence at all. I'm just wishing for that to happen. Because that means that what you say applies to everybody. You want our streets to be filled with people carrying guns with no training? Then your office is part of that state. Why should that be any different? Why shouldn't you feel the same unease that you're putting on the rest of us? So, by all means, you know, if you're going to sponsor and sign laws like this, you need to be treated like everybody else. You need to live like everybody else. This is crazy what they are doing. And only a week after this terrible shooting in Tennessee?
That's some callous stuff right there.
That is terrible. That is so terrible.
It's always people that are armed talking to people that are unarmed to convince them that everyone should be armed, but were the person they're trying to convince actually armed, I don't think they'd have that enrollment conversation quite so freely. I get that. Do people really understand, like, if I personally or individuals, like you're saying, that might not necessarily be best friends with a leader like that, if they show up, all of a sudden things change a little bit. And there's a real hypocrisy to that.
They don't seem to get that. They don't seem to understand that because
in fact, it's different than what you say. In reality, it's a little bit more harder to confront.
They live in their ivory towers, and they are sheltered from the masses, and they just pass these laws, and let the masses kill each other. They don't care. They don't care about your kids. They might as well be pulling the trigger themselves. They might as well be rewarding the school shooters. They might as well be doing that. That's how little they care. If they cared, they would be doing something about this. They would be doing something. They would be, you know, taking... We had some kind of progress last year. I honestly don't know what we accomplished. But everyone is heralding, oh, yes, for the first time, we came together and we passed... What did we pass? Someone tell me, what did we pass to allow a law like this to go into effect? What possible progress did we make? This is insane. Other countries are completely laughing at us. Other democratic Western countries are completely laughing at us because we're being run by lunatics who keep pointing to the Constitution, which I don't think they have the ability to read, and attaching these fake definitions to words from the 18th century that do not apply today and that would never have applied in the first place if the writers were around today. You know, they keep leaving out the well-regulated militia part of the Second Amendment. Somehow that doesn't apply. Oh, well, things have changed. You know, that doesn't mean what it means now. It means something different that we can't basically say, but it just pretend that's not there. You know, no, we have to stop giving these people an inch. Stop saying, we're not coming for your guns. Yeah, we are coming for your guns. We're taking the assault rifles out of your damn hands. We're melting them down, or we're giving them to Ukraine, or just getting them away from kids. What the hell are you doing? What are you doing to our kids? I mean, even around here where there's still a little bit of sanity, people are saying, oh, yeah, we have to have armed guards in the schools to protect the kids. Okay, genius. You know, I haven't been inside a school building in decades, but I can tell you right now, if I wanted to get a gun into a school, I can think of a dozen ways to do it successfully. Any person with a slightest bit of imagination can do that. It solves nothing. It might make you feel a little better to have a cop there. It's not gonna stop the problem if you have guns everywhere. Doesn't do a damn thing.
And especially these particular ones, because the amount of damage mm-hmm. in a short amount of time, you might alert the emergency response system a little faster, but they still need minutes. And if by the time an assailant is in view of a guard like that, there's very little. There's a lot that could happen in that interim, and it is a reality.
I don't care if you're the Bionic Man, okay. As Kyle said, if somebody opens fire with an AR-15, it's game over in a couple of seconds. You can't stop that. You can't. You can just keep it from continuing getting even worse. You lose 10 kids instead of 100.
And you
feel like a winner? You feel like you accomplished something?
Gun advocates know that best. That's the funny part. I mean, not the funny part about this. They should know. They should know. They should be talking about that in light of, you know, responsible ownership other than this madness. But they won't.
Here's the other thing, though. Okay, let's say you put guards in all the schools. Great. So let's say it works. It's not going to, but let's say it works. You manage to keep guns out of the schools. You know, guns are everywhere, but somehow they don't make it into the school building. And nothing ever happens. Okay, well, what's the next soft target? Malls? Main Street? Are you going to put armed guards every few feet? What kind of society are you building? What is wrong with you? This did not happen a few decades ago. This is all a product of the post-Reagan world, where we're basically the Second Amendment was completely distorted, and this gun mania took over the mainstream. We have to wake up. We have to smack ourselves across the face and say, no, this is not right. This is not what we want our country to be. If you're sending your kids to a school with armed guards, you're damaging them. You're damaging your kids by doing that. This is not how you're supposed to grow up. if you're in a war-torn country, yeah, that's, well, look what happens to the kids who grow up there. We're doing the same thing without the war.
I gotta imagine, you know, I think that, I mean, if I was a parent and you were thinking about from a tourism economic perspective, touting this in a state that relies on tourism like Florida, how are people going to feel comfortable coming there? And I think this might be something that is in a subtext with Disneyland, because to continue your analogy, I mean, what if there's armed guards and police, you know, soldiers running around Disneyland just to protect everyone? Do you think that's good for them? Like, I mean, how do you feel safe in a place like that where the bar is so low, mm-hmm. for such deadly weaponry? And with leadership this irresponsible. And
where you encourage people to walk around without training and just to, you know, with this ridiculous notion that this is your constitutional right.
And the backwards idea that the general populace, that people around the world will feel somehow, you know, the same level of admiration and want to visit. I don't want to go. I mean, I don't want to go to Florida. Why would you want to go there? If continuing down this road,
mm-hmm. and we're seeing, you know, basically everything is being set up so that things like this spread throughout the country, and eventually you won't have the power to do anything about it. I mean, Trump's Supreme Court can easily just say, yeah, you know, what Florida is doing, that's what everybody has to do now. And that's the point where I think the country is lost. It's completely lost. That's when the buildings start burning. That's when I think the Civil War has already begun, to be honest, because voices are not being heard. People are having these horrible, horrible regulations and discrimination and terror imposed upon them. And no matter what, they're not heard. Yesterday, Tennessee, it was really, really inspiring. Bunch of students walked out of school, thousands of students on the street, saying, enough already. We've had it. We've had it with guns everywhere. We want gun safety. And Tennessee House Republicans did not want to hear it. And in fact, what they wound up doing was voting to expel three Democrats for daring to stand up with the kids. Yeah, last Thursday, three House Democrats approached the podium between bills without being recognized to speak, which is a breach of chamber rules. Representatives Gloria Johnson of Knoxville, Justin Jones of Nashville, and Justin Pearson of Memphis led protesters in the galleries and several chants calling for gun reform. And House leadership, Republicans, later called it an insurrection, basically trying to make it a January 6th thing. Nothing of the sort. It's democracy. It's people standing up and saying enough already. It's a demonstration. It happens. That is not what January 6th was. There was no violence. There was no vandalism. It was simply people reacting to having their fellow students murdered. And now, as a result of that, Republicans are going to expel the Democrats who dared to do that. Democrats who were voted into office by the very people protesting. That is what they do. This is fascism. It's arrived. It has arrived in Tennessee. It's arrived in Florida. It's arriving all over the damn place. You can find it right here on Long Island, too. People embrace this kind of nonsense. We have to get louder. We have to start shutting things down. I mean, what is it going to take? Obviously, nothing is going to sway the people that feel they have control now. They just need to feel fear. They need to feel like they're threatened of losing all their power and that the people are turning into their enemy. So what happened yesterday was great to see this. You know, at night, parents were bringing their kids to the assembly to continue protesting. Never seen such angry kids. But House Speaker Cameron Sexton, Republican of Crossville. Yeah, there's a town called Crossville. Everyone there is cross. Called for the vote to expel those Democrats. All three resolutions passed in a party line vote of 72 to 23. And tomorrow, actually Thursday, the expulsions will go through and Democrats will have absolutely no power to do anything about it. That is not democracy in action. Mm-mm. So, you can't ignore this. This is what should have been on TV all day yesterday. Instead, we're watching Trump's fat ass move through the streets and getting updates as to, you know, whether he had a bowel movement today or not. Who cares? Eventually, he's going to get locked up or die or something. It doesn't matter. This matters. Having our kids massacred in school, that matters. Having no right to abortion, that matters. And we do have the power to do something about it. If we come together, if we get loud, if we stand up to these right-wing zealots who try to tell us that we don't have the right to speak, that we don't have the right to be angry, we don't have the right to demand our rights, we let that happen. I don't know what country this turns into, but it's not going to be something we recognize.
So, yeah, stock up on that acrylic paint. Make your posters.
Remember when we used to do happy shows? There used to be things to be happy about, but, I mean, this is like, you know, that seaweed that's approaching Florida slowly? That's what I feel. This is the right-wing zealotry and just the hatred. It's slowly approaching.
The foulness is going to just linger as it rots on the beach. Yeah. Well, I feel optimistic and we're okay and happy that people out there are listening and supporting community radio.
Oh, that's right. It's a fundraiser.
We're in the midst of the spring radiothon, I believe.
I hope that got some people to call to realize that voices are important, that you have a voice as well, and that you're listening for a reason. So 631-632-6901 is the phone number to call to pledge. And if that doesn't answer, which is possible, you can always go to WUSB.FM and pledge online. And you can get all kinds of cool things. You can get coffee mugs or tea mugs, same thing. You can get t-shirts, you can get sweatshirts, you can get tote bags. You can get CDs. The most important thing you get, though, is WUSB, broadcasting at both 90.1 and 107.3, soon to be at improved power on both frequencies, with your help. We need those pledges. That's how we stay on the air. 631-632-6901 or WUSB.FM. Please spread the word, too. Maybe you're listening to the show and you know somebody else who might be interested in listening. You can listen to it in the future, both on the WUSB archive and over at 2600.com/offthewall, where every single show has been archived. You know, we've been on the air 20 years. I just realized this. We started in February of 2003.
I remember that. I was in college and George Bush was declaring war, another war on Iraq. And I was mad as hell.
I was mad as hell too.
I was really mad.
I was speaking to you. I didn't know you, but I was speaking to you.
Glad you were on the air. Mm-hmm. It drove my roommates and people around me nuts, but I think they were mad too. They just didn't know.
Did I drive them nuts?
I think everything drove them nuts. I don't know. Maybe it was me. It was probably me listening to the news and WBAI and and WUSB and all of the alternative news sources, because finding good mainstream and good alternative news sources is crucial, because your information diet is only as varied as you make it. So that was a real emphasis when I was studying, and I try to continue to do that now. It's very hard because it's easier than ever.
Oh, you do a great job of that.
You can read a lot, yeah, and you're always talking about different channels. There's different means of broadcast, scanning around and staying up to date and Places like WUSB count on the listenership here for ideas, for mm-hmm. requests, for contributions. All of that matters so much to us, and we really, really, really thank you for tuning in to this program.
And I have to say, you know, if it weren't for WUSB, I don't know how I would have ever learned to express myself. You know, when I first started here back in the 1970s, I could barely string a sentence together. And you can see that for yourself, because we posted archives of some of my first newscast, and boy, it served as inspiration for virtually anybody who walked through the door. If that person can get on the air, I can do it too. Place has given me so much confidence.
I was studying. I had a little bit of experience. There was a radio station at the school I was going to, but I never got on air. I did terribly in audio production, but I was starting to get into it. I never imagined I would be helping out and sharing my voice with so many people. It's
most
weird.
Most colleges don't let the students go on the air in the first place.
It was a very hard, I think, to break into. And I wasn't quite there yet. I wasn't ready. I definitely owe a lot to WUSB for helping me be a little more confident. And that's a magical thing that, you know, you never know where things will take you, and you never know what kind of skills you'll attain and be able to express yourself through.
And that's somebody who is thousands of miles away, you know, and still is influenced by what we do here on WUSB. And this is only one show. You may hate this show, you may like this show, you may be ambivalent, but if you listen to 90.1 or 107.3, just WUSB.fm, throughout the week, you'll hear so many different perspectives and styles of music and culture and things like that.
And it's always changing. We have excellent directorship for the music programming. There's still new music coming into the station. It's not in LPs so much. There are still CDs coming, but we get new music. This is one of those really cool stations that has all kinds of eclectic music, and the programming is something that we care and curate mm-hmm. quite actively. And I think it's outstanding. I listen to WUSB as much as I can in the off hours, and hear really, really cool programming, lots of great stories behind why people are playing stuff, and it's a lot of fun.
What I really like is that we value both the old music and the new music. There have been times in our history where I think we've leaned too much on just new music. Also times where we've ignored new music and just played old music.
Oh, that's true.
And now I think it's kind of a balance, because I hear a lot of new things I've never heard before, but I also hear things from the past. But what's really good is when you hear something from the past that you never heard before, not just the hits, but something maybe even from an artist that did have hits, but different material. And then you learn something about that. People talk about this particular track, this particular album. It's such an education. It's not a music box. It's not like commercial radio. That's what commercial radio is. They sell commercials and they just play the same songs over and over again. We are constantly on a journey here on WUSB, and that's why we want you to come with us. And supporting the station, pledging whatever you can afford, WUSB.fm or 631-632-6901, that is what helps us take that next step. And by the way, if you do get voicemail on that phone number, just leave your phone number and a representative will call you back and take your information. It's really an awesome thing. We've both pledged support numerous times, and it's a great feeling to know you're helping.
I think you've opened up a can of worms. We could talk for another hour about which you like more, old music or new music, without defining the terms. What is old? What is new? Just to you, what do you like better? That itself is like a philosophical toil that we could go on and on about. But it is true that your contributions here they make live performances happen, and we give a place for musicians to come through, and that happens more often than not, I'm sure, over the event schedule this summer and spring. Plenty of people will be stopping by to do live performances here at WUSB, so check us out. And of course, the live events we're known for, all of that can be found WUSB.fm. Uh-huh. Please donate to the Spring Radiothon as much as you can give. Recurring basis is great. Anything helps.
And as I mentioned before, our transmitter is not operating the way it should. Well, it's because it's a backup transmitter. the real main transmitter blew up last year, I think it was a year ago. It blew up. It literally blew up. I mean, you know, there weren't fire trucks or anything like that, but it was impressive.
It has a tube and it blew up.
It doesn't work anymore. Yeah. So we had to get a new one, but it took us a year for the whole thing to play out. And it is arriving. It's on the way. It will be here this spring. We're thinking, I believe, May.
There's a lot of shepherding involved.
May is what we're looking at right now. Mm-hmm. And also at the same time, we are looking to boost the power of our 107.3 translator, which fills in some of the pockets on the North Shore. And hopefully we get that done fairly soon. So both frequencies, 90.1 and 107.3, will finally reach the full range that it's supposed to, they're both supposed to reach. We can do that with your help. Every pledge counts. And if you can afford to pledge a bit, it's tax deductible. We certainly do appreciate it. Again, phone number 631-632-6901. Leave voicemail if you don't get a human, or just go to WUSB.FM and there's all kinds of buttons you can hit to pledge and leave your information there. Okay, that's going to do it for us here. You can write to us here at Off the Wall, otw@2600.com. That's our email address. We'd love to hear from our listeners, whether you agree with us or not. By all means, be verbose. Say what's on your mind. Finn is coming up next. We will be back next week, talking about how society has degraded even more.
So long, everyone. Thanks a lot for listening. We'll see you next week.
Good night.
Durch Zeit.